Happy Thanksgiving to all of you again. It's good to be here. I think Thanksgiving is a great tradition. One of the, probably the greatest traditions that we have, the church gave to the world would be Thanksgiving. I think, you know, just in line with Easter and Christmas, this is a great, great tradition. And I think the key probably to the prosperity of the, you know, Western Europe, Western and Northern Europe and North America might be one key might be, I think, this Thanksgiving for what we enjoy. The life that God has given us in this land is a great tradition. So, and this year I'm particularly very, very thankful. There are much to be thankful for, I think. In the past, I may not have mentioned this to you, but I think 80% of my contemporaries, my generation, really didn't make it to age 25. Most of them, my childhood friends, are actually, when I go back, there are very handful of people that I have grew up with that are still alive. Most of them never saw their 25th birthday. And so it's just God's goodness sometimes that we get to be alive. And so I'm really grateful, very thankful for that. And I, you know, I get to live to be much more than that and have a wonderful wife and children and get to come to this great country and get to enjoy many things. And so I just, it amazes me why I get to be chosen or to get to have this privilege. So I'm greatly thankful. And this year, I'm very thankful to be the opportunity to be here. And I say this because you are just wonderful people. And it's a tremendous privilege for me because I have grown over the last year in being here, watching you, learning from you, and seeing how you go about living your lives, how you glorify God in every day, in the way you speak, in the way you conduct your lives. It's just seeing multi-generation people is, for me, is beyond belief. I'm really grateful. And I'm actually getting older, I'm thinking more and more of the legacy. Now, early on, I used to think about my careers, success, and things like that. I am now more thinking about the legacy. You know, what's the legacy that I'm leaving behind? I'm thinking about the tangibles and the intangibles. You know, we live for our children, you know, homes and money. All of those things are good, and the scripture instructs us to do that. But I also think about the intangibles, you know. Am I a thankful person? Am I a grateful person? Long after I have gone, would my children be able to say that about me or my grandchildren? There are some great grandchildren. So that's been in my heart. And you know, we're continuing. This morning we saw the scripture. a few weeks back we started about talking about the questions that Jesus asked, and we're exploring those. And in line with Thanksgiving, we read this Luke chapter 17. And before, you know, as I was getting ready, I came across this short story that was convicting for me, and I want to read it for you, so I hope that you will find it convicting as well. Two men were walking through a field one day when they spotted an enraged bull. Instantly, they darted toward the nearest fence. The storming bull followed in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent they wouldn't make it. Terrified, the one shouted to the other, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it." John answered, "I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." "But you must," implored his companion. "The bull is catching up to us." "All right," panted John. "I will say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. O Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." I don't know if you are like me, but I find myself, I'm like a fair weather friend to God. The only time I seem to find myself thanking God is when things go my way, right? So, you know, so it's really not, thankfulness seems to be something easy, but it is not so easy. So there's the story we read this morning. If we can grab, we go to Luke chapter 17. All of you, please open your Bibles and see, go back to Luke 17. And we see a few things from that story this morning. And Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, and the story begins in verse 11. And now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. And so leprosy, I don't know, I have had a chance to see a leper and it's a very, very horrible, a dreadful disease. And in those days, if you have a disease of leprosy, Leviticus 13 and 14 gives us very strict instruction what to do with a leper. A leper, if you have a disease of leprosy, you would be put out. There is a colony, you would be totally separated from everybody else, and it's done. It's done. Your life is done at that point, right? And perhaps you could show a picture here. I hope this picture is not too graphic. I tried to find something that's less graphic, but this is the only thing. There are some other pictures that are totally dreadful, and it's just a debilitating disease. And one way to really communicate, you know, something is through a picture. But another way might be through words. And here's a description that I want you to listen, some of you. The severe type of leprosy is caused by a bacteria. It attacks the nerves and the skin. It anesthetizes the body and the limbs so that feeling is lost. And then the potential for serious injury becomes large. It starts with a white or pink patch of skin, usually on the brow, the nose, the ear, the cheek, the chin, and the head. The patch then begins to spread in all directions. A portion of the eyebrows disappears. Spongy, tumorous swellings grow, first of all over the face, and then begin to descend all over the body as the disease becomes systemic. It becomes also involved with the internal organs as well as the skin. Fingers and toes can be absorbed into the body, literally absorbing themselves into the body because of the bacillus invading the bone marrow, impairing blood supply, causing the bones to shrivel and the rest of the body to shrivel as well. With the accompanying loss of feeling in the body due to nerve disease, the victim destroys his own tissue because he has no feeling. The bacillus can destroy the eye, causing blindness. Blindness penetrates the teeth so they fall out, penetrates all the bodily organs, and affects the larynx so that one winds up with a weak and raspy voice. And you can see how dreadful this disease is. And you see, so that when you have something like this, you're put out and your story ends at that point. You're literally, you know, ostracized. So in verse 15, we see that Jesus gives an instruction earlier. He says, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." That's how what you would do if you're cleansed. If you're cleansed, before you can come back to the town, or come back to your family, the priest is the health inspector. He will look you up and down to make sure there is no signs of leprosy throughout your body. And then there are some other prescriptions that you have to do the cleansing process before you are actually brought back to the family. In verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Now, I want us at this point to think about the issue of gratitude and ingratitude, or thankfulness. And you can see there were 10 people there, but only one comes back. Only one. It's just like 10%. It seems that there's only 10%. It seems like there are most people take, but few give. Few are ready to praise. And a couple of observations I'd like to make about people, the characteristics of people that have a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness. And the first thing you see in verse 15 is just one of them. They are rare, these people. And it reminds me of people like Hannah and people like Daniel. You know, Hannah had early on, she had a terrible life. But when you study closely to look at the story of Hannah, throughout her ordeal, especially when she didn't have children early on, she was looked frowned upon by society in those days. But she was a woman that gave thanks always. She was always turned her attentions to God, and she would be thankful. She knew there was a purpose for her situation by God, and she was always focusing upwards. And in Daniel chapter 6, you see when Daniel was, before he was thrown in the lion's den, there is a remarkable story in chapter 6. When Daniel recognized, it says that the decree was signed that no one can worship other gods. Daniel knew his life was going to be cut short. He was about to be killed, or he could be killed. But it says that Daniel worshiped God. He went into, when he realized that this was going to happen, as he has always done, he went to his home, opened his windows towards Jerusalem. He just praised God. He thanked God. The word thank God, you find it in there. For the ordeal he was about to receive, for something that was about to come his way. He anticipated he was going to have a very difficult coming weeks and months are going to be very difficult because he's going to potentially face a serious situation. What did he do? He just, like he has always done, he lifted his hands and began to worship, to praise God. Such people that have a gratitude, a thankful heart, are not crowd followers. They are people that stand out. They are people that stand out. They do not blend in with others. They don't just follow the crowd. They are outstanding people, people of substance and character. You know, this past week, there was on the news in Toronto, I don't know if you see it on the news, there was a home that was destroyed, and it was a home of an Orthodox rabbi and his family. He has like seven children. His home was literally gutted out by fire. And when he was interviewed, it was amazing what he said. It was a very brief clip that I saw. Was he said, well, this is just a house we can rebuild. I am thankful that my family is okay. It's amazing for somebody that has gone through such no bitterness, no resentment, simply giving thanks. And the second thing I notice here is, you know, they are very rare. Such people are rare. But the second thing you see is when he saw he was healed, such people notice. They have sight, not only sight, they have insight and understanding. They see beyond what's going on in the forefront, there is much going on in the back. And they see, they have insight. And immediately that person, he just, imagine, I mean, if you are a leper, you had a life, maybe you were 35 years old, you had two children, you have a wife, you have a good life going on, you realize one day that you have this disease and a death sentence was pronounced upon you. You are immediately yanked off of your family and taken to this place, never to see your wife, never to hug your children again. Now somebody comes along and that person, with a simple word, heals you. You receive, you are reinstated, life comes back, you are resurrected, you are drowning, you are dead, you are alive now. What is the response that you would give? Would you be able to perceive what happened to you? Would you be able to see what happened to the nine? They just disappeared into the thin air, right? Such people have an insight, And they have understanding. They can appreciate, they can value what's going on in their lives and around them. And the third thing I can quickly say about this situation, when he came back, praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. Just imagine the generous heart that you see in this person, the generous heart. Not only loudly praising God in a loud voice, but throwing himself at Jesus, worshiping, saying, thank you. Thank you for what happened. You gave me life. You touched my soul. You gave each and every one of us, believe it or not, had a disease of leprosy. That disease that Jesus broke from our lives is sin. That is a terminal situation. We were restored. We were brought back to the family, to the house of God by what Jesus has done for you and for me. We were restored. We were hopeless and going in the wrong direction until he came along. Out of his compassion for you and for me, we were destitute. We were left to be no more, to be nothing. He just came and restored us to the household of God, for each and every one of us. For that, the greatest sacrifice we can make for God is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Out of a generous and abundantly generous heart that we pour to God. And in Psalm 103, verse 1, it says, praise the Lord, my soul. In some versions, it says, oh, my soul. All my inmost being praise his holy name. All my inmost being, my every fiber, he's saying, with every fiber of my being, I will praise you. Now, in verse 17, we see Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner? Notice the spirit of ingratitude. We talked about the characteristics of people that have grateful and gratitude. But God expects, he expected all everyone to come back. He expects thanksgiving and gratitude from us. You know, when you think about ingratitude, sometimes it's complaining and murmuring. But that is a negative aspect of ingratitude, or the negative aspect. But there is, or inaction. But the fact that we are not saying, opening our mouths, sometimes not saying that to God itself is ingratitude. Not only we may not murmur, complain, but do we praise? Do we generously laud God? That's one aspect as well. Now, when you think about ingratitude, it's the sign of the times, the sign of the times. This is a sign of the age that we are in. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, we read this. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. And this is Apostle Paul writing, looking ahead to the times that we are in. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, ungrateful. Ungrateful. The sign of the age we are in is people demand more. People demand. People think they deserve. People have a spirit of entitlement. But rarely do you see in the workplace or in other places where people actually are thankful for what they enjoy in their lives. Rarely. Now, in closing, you see, Jesus then says to him in verse 19, then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. You know, 10 might have been healed. I wrote down, only one was made whole. Because God has a lot to give us so that we can be a blessing to others. God has in store much for us. But we are satisfied with so little at times. We just grab whatever we can grab and run away. If we hang around long enough to praise God, to thank God, we can receive much more so that we can be a blessing to others. Right? A channel of blessing to others. The story is told of a man who found a barn where the evil one kept his seeds ready to be sown in the human heart. He found that seeds of discouragement were more numerous than the others. And he learned those seeds could be made to grow almost anywhere. But when the evil one was questioned, he reluctantly admitted that there was one place in which he could never get them to thrive. And where is that? Asked the man. The evil one replied, in the heart of a thankful person. I don't know what is you struggling with, you are struggling with, I am struggling with certain things, but are there things we find hard to be thankful for, to be thankful for? How might you and be thankful today for the things that are disturbing our inner soul or causing us to be frustrated? Sometimes they are not apparent, they are not seen in the surface, but deep inside underneath there are something that certain things that are bothering us, and we are not thankful for those things. Those are the kind of things that I'm thinking about this morning. I just want you to take 30 seconds to think about what that thing is before we close. I want to read a particular scripture for you, but think about what is that one thing that's nagging at your heart, tugging at your heart this morning, but you are not thankful for. Just take a moment to think about that as I read a particular scripture for you. I'm always amazed by the life of Apostle Paul. Over 50 times in the epistles of Paul, we read the word thank God, over 50 times. But ever since he became a Christian, a follower of Christ, his life has been nothing but misery. Yet he kept on saying, and I believe that was the key for his life, the key to becoming a genuine follower of God. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7, he writes the following: As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. It's amazing. Abounding, overflowing. So continuously bubbling up, continuously bubbling up, overflowing in all situations. First Thessalonians 5:18 says, in all things give thanks to God, in all things. And that's the Spirit of Christ. I want to close with a short word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to worship you this morning. We are blessed in many ways, and yet in many ways we are similar to those 9 lepers. We tend to be afflicted by ingratitude. Help us to be grateful and generous in our spirit, to give thanks to you in all circumstances. This we ask in your precious name. Amen.